Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavita Ahvayi. The sacrifice of individual liberties for the sake of national security. More and more these days in the United States, this seems to be the case. The most recent involving a lawsuit accusing the government of spying on Muslims, which was thrown out of court. Well, in this news analysis, we'll count the ways that the U.S. government, under the theme for the sake of national security, is imposing and taking away freedom, which ultimately begs the question, is it time to redefine the U.S. Declaration and Constitution?
Since Washington declared its so-called war on terror after the 2001 attack on the Twin Towers, there have been numerous cases of misconduct by U.S. authorities undermining laws set forth by the American Constitution. The Muslim community in the U.S. has been specifically targeted and discriminated against in this context. American Muslims have been subjected to Islamophobia, illegal surveillance, and eavesdropping. There have been a number of lawsuits against the government over the ill treatment of Muslims in the U.S. Take the class action lawsuit in Orange County, California. A group of Muslims there sued the Federal Bureau of Investigation for sending informants to spy on them. The case revolves around the actions of Craig Montell, who says he posed as a Muslim convert at the request of the FBI to collect information at the county's mosques. The American Civil Liberties Union and the Council on American Islamic Relations joined a suit that accuses the agency of engaging in a dragnet investigation that indiscriminately targeted Muslims based on their religion, planted bugs in offices and homes, and listened in on private religious conversations. But the federal judge in this case decided to throw out the suit. His reasoning? State secrets privilege. An easy excuse often used by U.S. agencies to avoid persecution in their so-called counterterrorism efforts.
In reality, we have too much secrecy in the society. What are they afraid of people knowing?
The judge in this case argued, and this is an exact quote, "The state secrets privilege may unfortunately mean the sacrifice of individual liberties for the sake of national security." Carmine Carney reached his decision after reviewing confidential declarations filed by top FBI officials. He said after reviewing the documents, he felt the evidence would compromise U.S. national security. But the public will never know what that information was and whether it really was a grave threat to national security.
That the United States is a country with systemic racial problems and injustice, and that is part and parcel of the society.
The Department of Justice attorney defending in the case told Carney in court the state secrets privilege could be seen as unfair or harsh, but it was necessary for the greater public good. ACLU attorney, however, argued that the government should not be allowed to shut the courthouse door simply by citing national security. It's contrary to the basic notion that the judiciary determines what the law is and holds the government to it, he said. You're exempting huge swaths of government activity to judicial oversight.
Perhaps we need less secrecy so we can get to the bottom of things. So I don't buy it. It's another way for people to lose their freedoms in this society. It's another way to demonize people who happen to be Muslim, who happen to be different.
Let's see what our guests think. Let me introduce them. Imam of Masjid al-Islam in Washington, D.C., Abdul Alim Musa, joins us. We have co-founder of the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance, Dr. Kevin Barrett, who joins us from Madison. And from Answer Coalition, Richard Becker joins us from San Francisco. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me first start with you, Dr. Barrett. And I'd like to start with this quote, in which I'm going to ask you if you agree with this judge's decision. And he said that the state secrets privilege may unfortunately mean the sacrifice of individual liberties for the sake of national security.
Well, it's a complete joke. The whole idea that there's an actual national security threat around the so-called war on terror, and that Muslims in particular are special threats to carry out acts of terrorism, is a hoax and a myth. The reality is that statistically, you are far more likely to drown in your bathtub in the United States of America or to be struck by lightning than you are to die in a terrorist attack. Terrorism is a statistically insignificant threat, and that includes all terrorism. Now, the fact is that if we break it down and see who's committing the terrorism, what we discover is that Radical Muslims are behind 6% of the terrorist attacks in the U.S., according to the FBI. Radical Jews are behind 7%. So if indeed there were actually a threat of radical religious terrorism in the U.S., more resources should be devoted to surveilling and bugging and harassing the Jewish community than the Muslim community. But we all know that that will never happen. The whole thing is a hoax. It was set off by the biggest hoax of all, the false flag attack on 9/11, in which the Israeli Mossad and its U.S. assets, right up to the White House, conspired in the controlled demolition of the three World Trade Center skyscrapers and the bombing of the Pentagon Office of Naval Intelligence and the auditors who were chasing a missing $2.3 trillion. This is the most gigantic lie that's ever been told in history. And the harassment of Muslims that's resulted is a blatant violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says that we have freedom of religion in this country, and every religion, therefore, must be treated equally by the government. So I'm waiting to see if they start devoting more resources to harassing and surveilling the Jewish community than the Muslim community. When that happens, then at least they'll be obeying that part of the First Amendment. But the fact of the matter is that we no longer have a constitution in this country. We no longer have a rule of law. And these federal judges who are making rulings like this guy just did, there are a long list of others, are all traitors to the Constitution of the United States. And the only way to restore rule of law in this country is going to be arrest and try these people for treason.
Richard Becker, we have Dr. Barrett there talk about this whole thing beyond the U.S. Constitution, et cetera, as being something that doesn't serve the people's interest, to say it mildly. How did it get to this? And let me ask you, through this Freedom of Information Act, where it actually is set to undermine governments, the U.S. government's integrity, because it actually allows the government agencies to withhold evidence. How did this get approved in the first place?
Well, this has been a long-term development in the United States of the executive branch of the government and government security agencies, intelligence agencies, appropriating to themselves more and more power, and that appropriation of power being upheld over and over again by the courts. I mean, clearly what happened, and by the way, I really don't buy Mr. Barrett's explanation that this about what happened on September 11th and the trillions of dollars and so forth. I think that leads us off in a completely erroneous and direction that doesn't help to explain any of this. I think that what we've seen is, in the case of Orange County, is a complete and total fishing expedition by the government. By Montel, the informer's own accounts, he was sent into as many as 10 mosques and directed to gather as much information as he could on everyone. The use of informers, the use of surveillance on people who are not suspected of any wrongdoing, not suspected of any criminal activity whatsoever, but are being profiled because they are Muslim. You know, the FBI manages to ignore huge amounts of criminality in the United States. And we could look at the banks and what's going on in the banks and how no Wall Street executives have been prosecuted or are in jail today, top Wall Street executives, for massive criminality, fraud, money laundering, drug money laundering. The FBI has looked the other way or found it, for some reason, too difficult to go after them. The FBI has not only ignored the white supremacist, mainly they would describe themselves as Christian, terrorists who have killed doctors, who have just carried out a slaughter at a Sikh temple in Milwaukee, and over again declare them just to be lone gunmen when there's overwhelming evidence that they are in fact part of fascist terrorist groups in the United States. But in reality, we know that the FBI has often been involved in and leading those kind of organizations, from the Ku Klux Klan to the neo-Nazis to the extreme right-wing anti-abortion groups. So this is a travesty, what's happened in Orange County, another travesty added to many that have preceded it.
Well, let's look at and zoom in on that racial profiling, because it seems not a new story, but occurring time and again. And I'd like to ask you this, Abdul Ali Musa, why is it that it keeps continuing? Maybe you can shed light on this if you have a personal experience of yourself. I know that in some examples, Muslims have a person of religious faith, of Islam, going through, for example, airports in the United States, get looked at in a different light.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to say that on the situation in Orange County, I've spoken there several times, the University of Irvine. The imam at the masjid in Irvine that was there a few years ago, Imam Sadullah Khan from South Africa, we have been personal friends for decades. And what I found there was not only infiltration of the masjid and the workings in Orange County from the low end, but also the second in command of our organization, a notorious saboteur and infiltrator. We used to call him Amir Abdul Malik Ali. It seems as though he worked in perfect cooperation with his Israeli agents and American institutions to arrange situations in Orange County, especially at the university, because this person was based in Oakland but would go to Orange County or go to Irvine at least once or twice a week for several years. And it seems as though they would arrange situations that would justify the government infiltrating. See, they have to have a pretext or a reason. Like our brother said earlier about 911 and all of these government-arranged processes, the same thing happened in Orange County. Now, why is it a repeat in our history? Anyone in America that wants to do good, the race doesn't matter. If you are Philip Berrigan, if you are Martin Luther King, or if you are Malcolm X, it didn't matter. When you want to make a better world or institute a new program improving the condition of humanity, the government has a set pattern to come out and crush you any way it can. And if we go back to the Judge Bork days when he was trying to get in the Supreme Court, over 25 years ago, when the government lost a case against the Palestinian Nine, and they called them the Palestinian Nine, they were not all Palestinians, in the mid-1980s, the government lost its case or was thrown out because the government used illegal means to acquire information, and it was thrown out. That was the beginning of this stage, or the renewal of the changing or arranged for the changing in the laws of the United States and what we call a constitutional dictatorship, to the point that now we have targeted killing, we have Anwar Al-Awlaki and his son drone to death, we have drones in Pakistan, we have drones all over the Muslim world killing people without any due process, without any justification, and without any explanation. So now the laws inside the United States, the Constitution, have been removed from society. Technically, the Bill of Rights don't exist. This is why the government now feels free to say that we can't disclose any of the illegal doings that we do because it's a state secret. Well, everything that they do is a state secret, but they feel free to trample on our so-called constitutional rights and guarantees. We believe this is an arranged process. We believe that there are three main, when we talk about terror, we talk about the American government militarily around the world, the Israeli government with media, the Israeli affiliates throughout the world, and their operatives that control the media, the books, and everything else that feed us a diet of disbelief. And then we have Saudi Arabia. When you hear about Al-Qaeda, when you hear about Taliban, when you hear about all of these disjointed Muslims killing other Muslims, then you're talking about Saudi Arabia. Remember, when you tie the triangle of terror together, you have American military, Israeli or Zionist media, and then you have the Saudi Arabians, which help arrange things. You know, 911, they said most of them were Saudi Arabians. So if they were from Saudi Arabia, why didn't they invade Saudi Arabia instead of invading Afghanistan?
Well, let's talk about 911 a little bit, since you have talked about it and you mentioned it there, Imam Musa. I'm sorry to jump in, just get things going. Dr. Barrett, you also talked about 911, but aside from that, since 911, I'm sure you recall this program that was run by the New York Police Department, which was widespread, but it came to light, especially it was recently, regarding the spying on Muslims in mosques. And it's interesting, and I'm going to quote you, what has never come out of the NYPD's intelligence gathering practices since 911 was not only a waste of money, producing no intelligence of any value, but a violation of American rights. And it's interesting because the FBI has actually come out and say this, the same people who set up this program. Why is it that they're continuing this? There doesn't seem to be a logical explanation behind it.
Well, what they're actually doing is they're not honestly trying to prevent terrorism, because there really isn't any terrorist threat coming out of the American Muslim community. We may remember back after 9/11, we were told that there were sleeper cells all over the place, and not one single actual sleeper cell has ever been discovered. What's actually going on is that they are trying to justify this bogus war on terror by finding weak-minded individuals, sometimes autistic teenagers, semi-retarded teenagers in the Muslim community, and using all manner of very, very serious and intense persuasion, up to and including mind control, to try to talk those people into participating in FBI plots to blow things up. For instance, in Florida, we had a number of street people who were not really Muslims. They were sort of in some strange offshoot of Islam, who were just street people. They didn't even have a home. They're homeless. They're completely without any resources. And the FBI infiltrator agent came to them and offered them $50,000 and said, hey, could you buy a pair of boots as part of our plot to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago? So these poor guys in Miami naturally accepted the $50,000. I'm sure they would have taken $50,000 from anyone under any pretext. And the next thing you know, they're all on trial for supposedly trying to blow up the Sears Tower. The same thing has happened over and over and over in many different Muslim communities in America. Poor, retarded, autistic, and otherwise completely helpless young Muslims have been brainwashed by FBI agents into acquiescing in FBI-instigated terrorist plots. And the purpose of this is to create the impression in the Zionist-controlled American media that there is some kind of Muslim terrorist threat. And that is a complete lie. So what happened in Orange County is that now the judge says that revealing what really happened when this Craig Montel guy was running around trying to convince Muslims to blow things up, and none of them would. The Muslims that he was hanging out with all started reporting him to the FBI. And the judge tells us that if we find out all the details of what really happened, it'll be a threat to national security. And you know what? In a certain sense, maybe he's right. I think if the American people actually knew what's going on in these cases, they would rise up and they would burn down the White House, and they would storm every federal courthouse in the land and have every federal judge hanging from a rope, because it's that bad. We're living in a post 9/11 coup d'etat world with no rule of law and no constitution. And so I guess national security,
let's bring in Richard,
meaning maintenance
Richard,
of
let's
this
bring in
fascist,
Richard Becker to get a response from
lawless,
him. Sorry, Dr. Barrett. Richard Becker in response to
regime.
Dr. Barrett there.
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
In response to Dr. Barrett, what he was saying, the question that he posed, or the statement that he made.
Well, you know, the reality is that the FBI, for the last 70 or 80 years, has not been focusing on the real criminality that's gone on in the United States, particularly at the top, but has over and over again, down through these last 70 or 80 years, focused on the unions, the labor unions, on leftist, socialist, and communist activists in the United States, then the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the environmental movement, the women's movement, all the progressive movements, the lesbian gay movement, all these movements have been infiltrated by the FBI, and they continue to do this. And the FBI, at the same time, when it has infiltrated fascist groups like the Ku Klux Klan, as I mentioned earlier, has often been the ones who supply the leadership, the bombs, the weapons to those groups, and then stand by and watch them carry out terrorist attacks for which they rarely have been prosecuted or and have often escaped all prosecution, and have continued to focus on particular communities, and they have prioritized this as the way to best both present themselves, you know, that this is what the job that they are doing, but at the same time, really they act as the state security of the 1%, as the term has been popularized by the Occupy movement. They are the apparatus of security and terror against the progressive movements on behalf of the super rich in the United States and the government that is really under the complete control of the super rich at this point.
Well, Imam Musa, since our guests in San Francisco talk about the Occupy movement, we had news last week that came out that U.S. government has, through their security apparatus, raided some homes of Occupy protesters in certain states and actually retrieved some of the documents there, including perhaps documents stored in their computers. Why have they gone this far? Do they think the problem will be resolved in this form and manner, when the bigger picture is what the Occupy movement is preaching is not something that's being addressed? At least that's the feeling that the Occupy movement has.
Well, we can clearly see, well, again, I'm here in Washington, D.C., and our original office in Masjid and Center is in Oakland, California. And Oakland, California has been the center, one of the centers of Occupied movement. And when I went down to visit several times, I could see clearly that they had already arranged many saboteurs, many infiltrators, many people to cause trouble and make it look like that this totally nonviolent movement was involved in violence, dope smoking. In Dallas and other places, they sent homeless people and drug addicts and everything to press on the movement and join the movement, and it justifies the police again in cracking down. As our brother said earlier, this system automatically, I don't know why we have to repeat it so much, it automatically goes into the mode of oppression. If you take issues like Imam Luqman, who was assassinated 3 years ago in Detroit, it was a setup, it was arranged, and they a clear assassination. Whether it's the Masjid in New York, whether it's our centers in Washington, D.C., in Oakland. That was a report this month, the August editions of Horizon. And this is an Islamic, national Islamic magazine. And they did research and they came up with the number. They feel that there have been over 500,000 interviews by the federal government.
I'm so sorry, I got to jump in here. We're fresh out of time. Just listening to Imam of Masjid at Al Islam in Washington, D.C.
15,000 agents.
We're out of time. I do apologize, Imam Musa. You're just listening to him, co-founder of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance, Dr. Kevin Barrett. Thank you. I'm from Answer Coalition, Richard Becker from San Francisco. Thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Any comments or questions, newsroom at PressTV.ir. From Mikhail Tachmany and the entire team, it's goodbye.